What's up, Tamarindo amiguis? Our summer break is almost over. This is our final replay episode with Carmen Rita Wong, who wrote one of our favorite memoirs of all time, Why Didn't You Tell Me? The book is now available on paperback, and you'll definitely want to pick it up right away at your favorite independent bookstore. We also want to invite you to a fantastic retreat to Puebla, Mexico. This is happening February 15th through 19th, 2024, and Brenda is co-hosting this with Delcy Sandoval, the creator of the Ocupación podcast. The trip includes tours of Puebla, Tepoztlán, and Cholula, all meals, transportation during the trip, and phenomenal accommodations to one of Puebla's newest boutique hotels, several skill-building workshops, and an opportunity to connect with creatives, all for $1,600. Right now, we're accepting applications of interest for folks that would like to be part of this transformative creative retreat. You can find all the details at tamarindopodcast.com/encuentro. You're also invited to an informational call with Delcy and Brenda happening September 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time. All details are once again at tamarindopodcast.com/encuentro. Well, y'all, we hope you enjoy the special replay conversation with Carmen Rita Wong.
Welcome to
Tamarindo Podcast,
hosted by me, Brenda Gonzalez, a political nerd and nonprofit capacity builder.
And me, Ana Sheila Victorino, a queer well-being enthusiast and mindset coach. We are a Latinx empowerment podcast discussing politics, culture, and how to keep your calma with well-being practices and self-love.
Welcome to the show.
What's up, Tamarindo amiguis? We're back after a short week break.
Yes, we had to take a little breather after Hispanic Heritage Month, which, by the way, as Jessica Starr tweeted so perfectly, that Hispanic Heritage Month was canceled early, given the debacle that was city council. If, by the time you're hearing this, I mean, there's been 25 think pieces about what happened in L.A. I'm not going to summarize it here, because unless you live under a rock, you don't know that L.A. has been at the center of a disastrous racial conversation, but it also opened up a lot of thoughts, opinions, feelings about Latinidad, about internalized racism, about, you know, white privilege, about anti-indigeneity, about anti-blackness, and about anti-LGBTQ-ness. All the antis basically were part of this thing. But real quick, because we got to add to this, like everyone else has, what are your thoughts on what just happened?
You know, I just have to say, I feel it's horrible. At the same time, I feel grateful. I feel grateful that this is in our face, because it's real. It's felt by our city council members, who are supposed to represent all of our communities. And I'm grateful that it happened, because it's just reminding us how much work we need to do and how important it is that we be thoughtful about the community leaders we choose to represent us. And we're not just choosing Latinos because they're Latinos or whatever it is. So that's, I'll just stop with that. But if you want to add something, Brenda, how are you feeling?
I mean, yes, like I kind of mentioned, at this point, there's been 25 different think pieces.
Yes,
we don't need another think piece.
right.
Another think piece. But by the time you all are hearing this, you know, we aren't breaking news, right? We don't have the capacity to be breaking news. So hopefully by the time you're hearing this, there's different outcomes than what we have currently. But right now we still have Kevin De Leon, who just appeared on Spanish language media saying, que no voy a renunciar. Que no, que fallé. But that's about it. You know, he sounds exactly, and I know this face, he sounds exactly like a man that's cheated. And he's now like coming back with his tail between his legs to ask pedir perdón, but not to change, you know, So sadly, by the time you're listening to this, that might still be the case, that he's still in office and he still hasn't resigned. And also, you all have already heard the really disappointing letter from Nuri Martinez, where she's like, I hope I inspire little girls. Anyways, you all know it's trash. Many of you tweeted to us like, we know who's going in la basura. And like, again, we're not breaking news, so we didn't have the capacity to put them in la basura right away. But just, you know, they've been in the basura mentally and spiritually and emotionally in all the ways here at Tamarindo.
And yes, and because we hadn't had a chance to talk about this, all of them were going in la basura. And I just want to say, like, the way they've shown up, not only obviously during, but after, to me, is the exact reason why they're not the type of community leaders we need. Because a community leader, if Kevin De Leon was a true community leader, he would have resigned.
Like if he really cared about doing what's right for the community. And obviously he does not. He cares about what's doing right for himself. Y también igual with Nuri, like her statement, it was so...
Pena ajena.
Yes. Cringe. Like, how did you write that? Anyways.
Like, who? ¿Quién fue? Maybe her team just like immediately quit. So she came up with...
So we'll link these in the show notes for anyone that has not read the statement or has not seen the interview with Kevin De León. Y'all can read this and y'all can judge for yourself.
But, you know, somebody that is inspiring Latinas is our guest. Tell us a little bit about our guest and then maybe we could chat a little bit about why she's so special and about her book.
Yeah, so we're speaking to Carmen Rita Wong. She's a writer and author of the recent memoir, Why Didn't You Tell Me? She is a former CNBC television host and the founder of and CEO of Malecon Productions, where she develops female-focused media and entertainment. So that's what we're speaking today. I mean, we'll start off. How did you... I know you really love the book, Brenda. Tell me a little bit about what stuck out from it for you.
Yeah, fantastic read. Why Didn't You Tell Me? First of all, the name is so captivating. Because I think so many of us have had the experience of confronting truths as adults about things that were maybe not, that were held back from us as we were kids. And that's really at the center of this story. But I was really captured by the way that she writes. It's so emotional. You really get a clear picture of every single detail, what she's feeling, what she's observing. So first of all, it's just well written. It's a great read. And what I took away, you know, I felt like a lot of loneliness. I felt like there was a lot of loneliness, that she was navigating this world in many ways all alone, not fitting in. So in so many instances, you know, operating in this world in a body where it is clear that she's Afro-Latina, but she's got this Wong last name, and she has four half white sisters, and it's like not really finding her place in this world, especially having mostly grown up in a totally white community. So there's so much that readers can identify about navigating issues of identity, but I really took away that there was a lot of loneliness there, and it's so much more inspiring what she had to come through to be this successful news anchor and author and everything. So it's so inspiring. What are your takeaways, Ana Sheila?
Well, one thing that stuck out to me, well, so many things did, and things that came up even in the city council debacle, right? Again, anti-indigeneity, anti-blackness, so many of these things about struggling with loving ourselves because we're literally told not to, right? The other thing that was interesting to me is that the book centers around a big family secret. And I feel like, especially a lot of us in our families, we carry these family secrets because we're taught that we're supposed to not talk about things. And I think, and we talked a little bit about during the interview, so I wanted to ask you, Brenda, how has your relationship with family secrets evolved over time, and how do you feel about them today?
I mean, I'd like to talk about them some more. If any of you are big followers of podcasts, you know that I actually specifically talked about family secrets in Talk to Mommy and Papi, so we'll also link that specific episode in the show notes so y'all know precisely what I was talking about. But I think there's instances where, and she kind of addresses this in the book, where there's this intention of protecting, right? There's secrets often have the intention of, we wanted to protect you, we wanted to shield you. There might be good intentions, but I think when you become an adult and then these things come to light, it's very difficult because there's also kind of like this betrayal. Like, why didn't you tell me? Like, exactly as she screams it into the ether, right? And she doesn't even have the ability to get to the bottom of this. None of this is a spoiler because, first of all, the book is fantastic, but it's an extension of a fantastic story that she told on The Moth. So it's not a spoiler. But she didn't have the ability to get to the bottom of this by speaking to her family members. That was no longer an option. She had to do some detective work. So it's interesting. What are your feelings as you think about family secrets?
You'll hear more in the interview, but what I'll say now is that what I think about family secrets is that sometimes the actual secret, the holding on to the action behind the secret, is a lot more harmful than what was done in the first place.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is like maybe the secret itself might not have even been that bad. It's the fact that someone felt they needed to hold back.
Yeah.
It's hurtful.
Yeah.
Got it.
So basically, there's a lot of secrets that I don't think should be secrets, but because of religion, patriarchy, all the usual suspects, we end up having secrets that harm our family and harm our relationships much more than they need to.
Absolutely. So. All right. So without further ado, let's hear this fabulous conversation with Carmen Rita Wong.
So today, we're so happy to be joined by Carmen Rita Wong, who does so many things, but most recently released her memoir, Why Didn't You Tell Me? Thank you so much for being on the show, Carmen.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. Okay, so I want to open up. So your book speaks to experiences that many of our listeners can resonate with, grappling with identity as children of immigrants, the concept of home, family secrets, internalized racism. What was writing this book like for you? Did it provide maybe some reconciliation or healing around some of these topics?
You know, it definitely brought me places, I'll say. It really, you know, I've been working on healing and reconciliation, all of these things for decades, right? Since I discovered the secret 20 years ago, actually, exactly 20 years ago. I didn't find the answer, though, until recently, but that was when I found out the secret. And I've been really working on that. And I think what the book did for me is it really made me appreciate things in a little different way. And it made me look back on my life, assess where I've been, what I've done, and feel okay about myself and what I've done, probably for the first time in a long time. Because, you know, a lot of us, we're like, go, 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 achieve, 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 keep going, never stop. And writing the book actually forced me in some way, even though it was work and it was definitely a lot of work, to stop, to assess, to think, to process. So it's brought me, and plus everything that's happened in the past couple of years, has brought me to a really amazing but not easy place of knowledge, self-knowledge, and an awakening of sorts. Not to get it all woo-woo, but, you know, it's a little bit of an awakening. And it's a good thing, but it's good because, you know, I'm older now and this is another part of my life that I can, you know, make changes that I want to make.
I love that. So can you speak to me a little bit about what that awakening looks like?
So, I have a psych background, so I happen to know, the Jungian analysis of, like, you know, the idea that you get to this middle age and you assess your life and then, you know, all of a sudden you realize that you have been, in some ways, and it's not for everybody, but programmed. So for those of us, especially when you have immigrant parents and they say, I brought you to this country to do everything, you know, you can do what you want to do, but you need to be a doctor or a lawyer or an MBA, you know, that sort of thing. There's a lot of projecting onto the children. This is what happened to me with my mother, of their dream. And you feel you are only worthy if you achieve.
Yes.
You are only worthy if you are doing. You are not worthy if you're just being. So my big awakening is that it's okay to just be, and I'm still worthy of love from the universe or whatever.
Yes.
I want to say. But it's a big awakening. And it's just, to anybody who's listening, like if this resonates with you, let me tell you, it's there. It'll come to you. It's never too late.
Yes. Oh my God. I'm getting the chills because this is a lesson and I'm in my 30s. And I also just recently realized this. You are just worthy for being. And I didn't realize how programmed I was to think that I was only worthy of love or of anything if I was achieving. Also just grew up overachieving my whole life because I started to attach the worthiness to accomplishments and accolades and getting little stars. It started with getting the little star stickers on my homework, right? Like I was like, oh my yeah. God, I can trace it back to the little star sticker on my homework. And it's you know, ever since.
Gold stars. Yes. No, you don't need gold stars. You can just live and breathe and you're good.
Yes. I love it. Okay, so early on in the book, you move from your Dominican neighborhood in New York City with your mom and little brother to New Hampshire with your stepdad and no other family anywhere in the vicinity, right? So I remember reading that
and in my head screaming, no, like, don't do it. Because you can sort of imagine what's to come, the isolation that's expecting you, the racism that's expecting you. And then later on in the book, as you get older, you speak about spending time with your Dominican grandmother before her passing. There is, of course, the grief of losing a loved one, a family member, but there's also so much more behind that, right? So what did your grandmother represent to you and how you saw yourself?
Oh, my gosh. We called her Mama, even though she was abuela. She was Ana as well. Ana. I love that name so much. She represented love to me. She represented love. And just how I talked about, you know, being worthy by just being, she was the first person to really, and of course, this is all kind of looking back and I see how important she was. She just looked at me and loved me. Like that, you know, like that's just pure love. You know, she cooked for me. Like she was all visiting her and staying with her, you know, when she used to take care of me and my brother when my mother was working or something. You know, it was all like scents and fragrances from like the perfume she wore, which of course was Oscar de la Renta, because that's who she was a seamstress for. But like that smell, the food, you know, just the vinyl on the furniture, like it was just a very sensory filled childhood. And she represented being loved and also the richness of our culture and where we come from. Then we go to New Hampshire. When you say grief and loss, that was like the most incredible grief and loss. I actually, writing this book, I realized just how devastating it was. I don't think I wanted to go back there and think about it. I lost everything. My family, you know, our cousins lived nearby, Tia's, Tio, like everybody was nearby.
Your community.
Papi Wong too, in Chinatown, and all his buddies and all those visits, those weekly visits that he would do because they were divorced. But all of it was gone. New York City, which was devastating. But when she visited before she died, when she visited New Hampshire, the absolute gutting sorrow of realizing that I had lost our language. I had lost a connection because I was forced to go to a French Canadian school and my mother's new husband, who was Anglo-American, would not let us speak Spanish in the house, and real erasure, absolute erasure. It was devastating, but she still looked at me with that love and we shared that and it really transcended everything. So I'm so glad I had that time with her.
I love that. It's like, even though you didn't have the language through words, you had love, the language of love.
Oh, for sure. She was like an angel. She's like a guardian angel.
Yeah. For sure. And I know this isn't true for everybody, but you're making me think about just abuelita's love and my abuelita and just unconditional. And that's the word that I think for her too, unconditional love. And how we can still carry that even though they're not with us physically. I carry my abuelita's love with me all the time.
It is such a gift. And foundationally as children, it was such a gift because, you know, as you read in my book, life was not friendly to me after that. And that love, I really believe, was the actual key that kept me going.
Yes.
That kept me from losing myself to the racism, the low expectations, to my mother's unfortunate way of parenting, you know, all these things. It was her, that foundation she gave me.
Yeah. It's that little, like, that unconditional love. Like, you didn't know exactly where it was coming from, but it was with you, right?
Yep. It was done. The deed was, she did it, and it was there, and it wasn't going anywhere, and it has not.
Yeah. I love that so much. So you speak about erasure, and I also know that you had another integral part of you, the Chinese part that was robbed of you. How has that shaped you and how you perceive cultural appreciation and understanding?
Well, I'll tell you this, what I've really distilled is that there are two things you can talk about when you lose a race and a culture, or a race or a culture. Because when people speak about, okay, so now you found out that, you know, and I'm not giving too much away because the book has many more surprises, but one, you know, one surprise that sets everything in motion is finding out that Papi Wong was not my biological father. Now, that was devastating. However, over the years, what I realized, because I continued to see him, take care of him until he passed just a few months ago, is that there is race and there is culture. So biologically, am I Chinese? No. I will always, always be a Wong. I am a Wong. I'm a proud Wong. My nieces are Wongs. My brother was a Wong. Like, you cannot erase those years that I had as his child. And I still always felt that I was his daughter. And it even was, you know, he was also an incredibly difficult person. But in the end, when he passed is when I really realized, oh, wow, that was my father. Mm. That was my father. Mm. Yeah.
That is so...
Don't make me cry, no. Anna. Don't make me cry.
You're not, girl, I cry in almost every episode. So this is a...
my goodness.
So you're not cheating, you're not. So you're not cheating, you're not. I love that. That is so powerful and so beautiful. And I really love that distinction between race and culture, right? Yeah. There's two completely different things. I have two nieces that are, I'm Mexican, but I have two nieces that are Vietnamese and Mexican. And I was just really actually reflecting on this morning, thinking about, although I'm not Vietnamese and I'm not Asian, Vietnamese culture is a part of me now.
Yes. Yes.
That
yes.
is a part just of like my culture as an extension of me because they are my family.
An extension of your family. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, my sister-in-law, I've known since I was 16 years old and she is my big sister. She shows up for me. She's always been a part of my family and her mother, Granny Stella, and the whole extended family, and they're Guyanese. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, we can blend into the Guyanese family, and maybe not physically, but like we are soca music and oxtail stew, you know, all of that stuff. We know all of that. Roti, all that stuff. It is, when it becomes part of your family, it becomes part of you, whether you are biologically it or not.
Yes, yes.
And it's not appropriation, let's be clear.
Mm, yeah, I love calling family. That out as well. Yeah, it's family. Yeah. So family secrets are central to your book and obviously to your life, right? So I was reflecting on family secrets and why they're so common in many of our life stories. And I think the thing that kept coming up to me is shame, and often coming from religion and patriarchy and all these systems. And your book to me poignantly tells us it's often not the action behind the secret itself, but the secret that causes the most harm. So I can only imagine how your family secrets have shaped your relationship with secrets. But I was wondering if you could share a little bit about what that looks like today, what your relationship with secrets is.
I'm actually a very private person, very private person. People know me as that. And I'm also one of those people that I'm like a safety deposit box of information. Someone could tell me something, it never goes anywhere. You know, I'm that type of person, and I have boundaries, but secrets are things that you purposefully hide. There has to be purpose behind it. And I love that you mention shame and patriarchy and all stuff, because this is why, especially women, you know, in immigrant families, and I keep saying immigrant, which I actually hate saying that because listen, the world is like big, right? But we all living here right now in the US, so I'll use that word, but from all backgrounds, when there is a society that is built off of patriarchy, the women are going to keep secrets and information becomes control. So, and it gives them at least the small bit of power. So that's why my mother did that. Well, I don't have that issue. You know, it's like, I don't live in that. It's not that I don't live in Latin culture. It's that I refuse to accept that that's the way we got to live. And the other thing is that secrets can sometimes be people, human beings. The second I say, you know, to my mom, when I confronted her about this, she said, oh, this was for me to tell. This was my secret to tell. No. I said to her, when you did the deed, when I was in your belly, then I was a secret. The second I was born, I became a human being. That's not a secret. So it didn't become about her. It became about me. I'm a living, breathing person. So secrets to me are, they only serve you if they need to serve you. I believe in privacy and boundaries, but beyond that, no secrets.
Yeah. No. I was thinking about this a lot in the context of my family and how secrets were kept. And I remember my mom sharing with me a secret when I was older, and something to me that I was like, why didn't you tell me that when I was younger? Like that doesn't. I actually felt hurt that, you know, it wasn't a big deal, but she felt that this secret was to protect us, to protect me and protect us. And Yeah. And I think as I got older, you know, she was wanting me to be vulnerable with her and share things with her. And then she was like, yes. Oh, I don't know why you don't see me like a friend, or you don't tell me all these things. And I was like, mommy, because you literally have been hiding things from me. I know that it was your intention was to protect me, but you haven't created that culture because you've been trying to protect me and you want me to do the same thing. But you're not realizing that you made me feel like I didn't want to tell you when things were not so great with me because I was trying to protect you.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is that secrets and lies create distance between you and the people you love.
Yeah.
Absolute distance. You can't have a close, heartfelt, vulnerable relationship that's kind of goes both ways if there are secrets and lies.
Yeah.
Like with my daughter, we can have like really tough conversations. I'm not in her business. I don't go through her bedroom. I don't do all this stuff. I actually want her to have a private life.
Yeah.
But she is not afraid to come to me
right
about anything that is causing her trouble. Anything.
I love that. So it's, you are still honoring her boundaries and her privacy and encourage that. But there's an environment where she doesn't feel like she needs to keep secrets from you. And she knows that you are there for her when she needs you.
Yes, because I don't judge what has happened. It's not about getting in trouble right away.
Right.
It's
right.
About asking questions. Why? How do you feel? That sort of thing. So yes. And the culture is that she's safe. You know, home needs to be a safe place. I wanted to create a home that was the home that I wish I had when I was a kid.
Yes, I love that. That key word is safety, creating a culture of safety. Yeah. So for me now with my mom, I've struggled to be more vulnerable and open with her, but I'm trying to undo that cycle, right? That uncycle of secrets that aren't helpful.
And she has to work with you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got to be a two-way street.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's great you're doing it. We can end that. We can improve it. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Beautiful. Okay. So I'd love to get into the part of our show where we ask our guests our rapid fire questions. So first, I'm going to ask you, what do you want to give a matraca to? So what's something that you want to give a shout out to that you're loving? Could be person, place, thing, concept, whatever you want.
Okay, listen, I'm going to be a little superficial, but very deep at the same time. My daughter's immunocompromised. I'm a solo parent. If I go down, the ship goes down. So staying away from COVID is the number one thing in our lives, right? So we are masked up all the time. And I'm like, look, I like fashion. We like to look good. Why should your mask not be fashion? So I found people have been commenting on my masks. And it's this website. I get no freebies, by the way. This is not ad placement. It's shop. Mask and then the letter C, mask C, shop mask C. And it's a little, they have great sales, a little bit more money, but I can have masks that match or complement my outfit. And that means a lot to me because then it doesn't become about fear. It becomes just a part of my life and a part of my outfit. And I love it.
I love that. I love that reframing too.
Yeah.
Okay. How about, what do you want to put in the basura this week? What are you so done with? What are you putting in the trash?
The whole Republican Party, please.
Always.
Please. Just always. That's probably the answer everybody gives. But so, like, I was like, that is, if that happens, just so much goodness will come in this world. Yes. Extremism, propaganda, the whole thing. I just want it out.
Yes. Basura, basura, basura.
Basura.
And then lastly, what is giving you calma right now? What's keeping you grounded right now? I know that you're always doing a lot, but I'm sure also in promoting this book, that's also just been crazy for you. So what is giving you calma? What's keeping you grounded?
Calma. Wordle? No. Oh my gosh, I love Wordle and crosswords. I'm such a nerd. You know, I have these wonderful dogs. When I walk them, it's literally a breath of fresh air. And I adore them, and they bring us, my daughter and I, just a lot of love and peace, except when they make messes. We all know that. But just talking with my daughter about, we're big movie fans. We talk about pop culture and movies and what she's seen and what I've seen. And we sometimes share and sometimes don't, watching the same thing. But there's something about having a conversation with your kid about silly things, you know, about movies or this, that, the other thing, and seeing their enthusiasm. That just makes me so happy. And happiness to me calms me. I love that.
And speaking of, you know, talking to your teenage daughter, any new slang that you've learned recently?
Oh my God, no.
Any new words that you can share with our listeners so we can...
No, like weird things have been coming back around, like dope.
Oh yeah, I'm still saying...
That's something that I've been saying since like the 90s, you know, and yeah. Now it's like all this stuff coming back. But you know what's back, which is really weird, is, you know, the bell leg on the pants and the jeans.
Yeah.
Not bell bottoms, but you know, that kind of leg. Oh my gosh. And the super baggy
pants
and the tight top and the platform shoot. Let me tell you, this was Adelia's catalog in 1990.
Right.
It's all back, babe. It's all back.
You know what? I'm happy to get a little away from the skinny jeans. Those were too tight.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I'm a boyfriend wearer. I wear mid-rise boyfriend, you know, and then I do the cuff, which my daughter teases me because she calls it the bisexual cuff. So that's code. The kids have code. If you cuff your jeans, you're
bisexual. No way.
I was like, okay, well, that is correct. But I still don't like that you see, but it's true. It's true. And I was like, well, okay, then I did all something right.
I'm a rocket.
Thank you.
Yeah, rocket.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm going to rock it. Whatevs.
Okay, cool. So I learned something. Thank you. Thank you for that. The bisexual.
There you go.
All right. So lastly, I just want to open it up for you to share any last words that you want with the listeners. Where can people follow you? Where can they support you? Anything you want to share?
Sure. Please get the book. There's the hardcover copy has lots of family pictures in it. So you'll see all the people I'm talking about. The audio version is me. So you get this voice doing voices, my mother's voice and Poppy Wong's voice. And you can get me Instagram at Carmen Rita Wong. And my website's carmenritawong.com. And I'll just say this. Every time one of us does well, the rest of us does well. And I've made it my mission to lift up Latinas and Black women and Asian women. And let's just all do that for each other. That's all.
Yes.
I want to see many, many, many more books like mine. I want to see so many books like mine. That makes me so happy.
I love it. That's so inspiring. Thank you so much, Carmen. This was so much fun. I really appreciate you today.
Thank you so much for having me.
We hope y'all enjoyed that brief but beautiful conversation with Carmen Rita Wong. So y'all, we highly recommend the book. And again, it's called Why Didn't You Tell Me? So moving on to our matracas, our basuras, and our calmas. Brenda, what are you giving a matraca to today?
I'm giving a matraca. This is self-serving, but I don't care. I'm giving my matraca to the Heartbeat House. It is a fabulous minority woman-owned gym in Atwater Village that I'm now teaching at every single Friday, 7 a.m. And if you use the code Brenda50, all caps locks, Brenda, and then the number 5, and then the number 0, you can get 50% off to take my class. And it's every Friday at 7 a.m. Pacific time. It's both in person and it's also live stream. So wherever you are on earth, you can take my class. And if you sign up for the live stream, you get access to the on-demand recording for 48 hours. So there's no excuse. Just come to my class, y'all, and we'll have those details on our website. So that's my big-ass matraca. What about your matraca, Ana Sheila?
My matraca is going to intentionality. And I say that because I feel like right now I'm at a period where I'm enjoying the fruits of my labor.
Yeah.
So, and what I mean by that is I put in a lot of work this year, a lot of internal work, a lot of different kinds of work. And I feel like I'm right now acknowledging and seeing what's blooming inside of me.
Beautiful.
In my connections and in my environment.
Se ve, se siente.
And, you know, closing out things, having a lot of fun, saying yes to adventures and experiences. And another big intention of mine was connection. Like, I just really wanted to feel more connected to myself and others as well. I had been feeling a little more disconnected and I really feel that. And it's just beautiful to just have been intentional with that and enjoy the fruits of my hard work.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of connections, it's been so wonderful to have you physically in town for Hispanic Heritage Month.
Yeah.
So I'm a big matraca to that.
Yeah.
And just being able to do things together. We're in a room together. We're in a room that's very echoey, as you could tell. But still, it's great to be in a room and not seeing you through a Zoom screen. So
yeah,
awesome for you being in town and making the best of it and connecting with so many people. Hopefully you come back.
Yes. And I'm coming back, y'all, officially. Well, you know what? I want to give you a matraca. And maybe I already gave a matraca to you for this.
I'll give it to you. All.
You know, when you get older, y'all, you start forgetting what you've already said. So
especially on a podcast.
Exactly. So, but I want to give you a matraca for really leading the charge with our live, our Tamarindo Live.
It was so fun.
It was so, so fun, so beautiful to be with people. And we met some listeners and friends and had the kinds of community leaders that we want to see.
Exactly. I mean, amazing. Yes, yes, yes.
So matraca to you for that, because it's one of the highlights of my year, I think, actually getting to
awesome.
Do that with you.
I know you don't check Facebook, but I tagged you and I said, thank you for being my partner, I think is what I said.
Oh, that's so cute. That's so corny. I love it.
It's super corny.
Beto, you're reminding me to check my Facebook. And I'm also, PSA for everybody, check your Facebook, because you probably have like 10 private messages from your mom. My mom sends me all the cute things, and they're very precious. So go and check your private messages in your Facebook, because yeah, you'll have some from your mom, probably.
Love it. Okay, so what is your basura, Anashina?
My basura, we already gave it to them. Kevin De Leon, Nudi, all our city council members that don't really represent the community.
Yes, absolutely. All of them. Also, this is really silly, but I have another one. Jeff and I bought some expensive-ass knives. We went to like one of those really fancy places where you get expensive knives. And let me tell you that thing sucks. Like, I have to sharpen it every single time before I use it. So basura to that cheap-ass, expensive-ass knife. Okay, Ana Sheila, how are you getting your calma?
My calma is actually just a reflection, again, on our Tamarindo Live, because I had so much fun with it. And it also shows the growth in me and my being comfortable speaking in public, things like that. And so what I've learned, and we've talked about how to use your voice and be more comfortable using your voice in other episodes, but I think if I boil it down to three things that have really helped me be more comfortable and take up more space, it's trying to have as much fun as possible in whatever presentation you're doing, whatever you're doing. Some things are not as fun, but how can you have the most fun possible given what you're doing? Number one, speak from the heart and remember that it's not about you. What is this actually about? It's about the community that you're serving. Take yourself out of it, and I promise you, you'll do better than you thought.
Love that. Wonderful calma tips. Beautiful. Absolutely amazing. My calma comes from Mexico, always. When I go to Mexico, I'm already planning my next trip to Mexico. I just had a fantastic time traveling with friends, and these are people that are world travelers, amazing world travelers. They've gone everywhere. And the fact that they were blown away by Ensenada, they were blown away by the cuisine. I'm just like, I told you. So I just love going to Mexico. It's always fantastic. It's always a treat. And I just came back from it. I always feel super recharged and energized and ready to go again. So.
Oh, I love that so much. I need to get down there more. I've only been there one time, and I had a very brief time there, but it was really fun. Speaking of Mexico, I'm actually leaving tomorrow. We're recording. What day is today?
Thursday the 20th. So I'm flying out tomorrow, Friday the 31st.
I'm flying out tomorrow. I'm. It's bittersweet. This has been such a beautiful time for me to just being here. I'm excited to go back, but I've fully committed to coming back to LA now permanently.
And before you do that, I have to make sure that I visit you a lot. Because
Yes. So I'm coming back end of January. So I'm giving myself 3 months to really close out my time there, be intentional, become a better dancer, spend time with my family, do more community work, and that's it. And
beautiful.
And back,
hopefully, so. You go to Puebla at some time. Make
yes,
that,
I'm,
put
I'm
that
gonna
on the
go.
List.
It's gonna
put
be on the list. But I have a two bedroom. So Brenda, it's at that bedroom. If you
Yay!
Come, if you come through, has your name on it. And if y'all are my friends, hit me up. Maybe y'all can stay there too.
Well, thank you everybody for listening. It was so good to be back in your ears after that short break. We've got a couple more episodes, and then the season is over. So hit us up if you want to get in touch. We love to hear from you. And until the next time, pon tu suéter.
Bye, y'all. Abrazos, besos. Ciao.
Tamarindo Podcast is Brenda Gonzalez and Ana Sheila Victorino, with production support from Josie Melendez and Augusto Martinez Delgado of Sonoro Media. Our theme song is by Jeff Ricards. If you like our show, please rate and review Tamarindo Podcast or share an episode with a friend.
besties, and welcome to I Am Besties. I'm Stephanie Ramirez.
And I'm Vanessa Casares. We're two Latinas coming together to create a space for heart-to-heart chit-chats on everything that matters.
From relationship advice to empowering women, exploring spiritual insights and healing trauma, we've got it all covered.
We're your go-to besties, sharing personal stories and bringing on inspiring guests for an engaging and entertaining listening experience.
I Am Besties, where you'll find laughter, love, and a supportive sisterhood. Join us and be a part of the family.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.